This is Missioning, Global Interactions podcast and a space to explore all things mission.
Hi, I'm Solari Nielsen, Global Interactions Next Gen Specialist. This is the fourth episode in our May Mission Month series, and the theme is partnering together. I chatted with Shannon, who is serving with Global Interaction in Outback Australia. Shannon had so much to share, and I'm sure you'll love hearing her story. Let's hear from Shannon now. Hey, Shannon, great to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you today. We would like, first of all, for you to tell us whereabouts are you and what are you doing over there in Outback Australia?
Yeah, so we are in Yuendumu, which is about 300 kilometers sort of northwest of Alice Springs. So if you can kind of picture Alice Springs, move over a little bit and up a bit, that's where we're at. So in the Tanami Desert. And we are out here doing church support work. So there's active churches and communities of believers out here already. Mm-hmm. And we are out here just to help support their growth and see the church flourish out here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Love hearing that. And tell me, you've got four children. How old are they?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got Beth. She is 7.5. We've got Peter, who's just about to turn 6 next month. And then we have 3-year-old twins, Caleb and Samuel.
And what's it like having kids out there in the outback?
Well, I think when we first came out, we came out with 2 6-month-olds and a preschooler and one who was just about to start school. So it looked really different then than it does now. There was a lot of chaos. Oh, there's a lot of chaos now too, but it was different kind of chaos. But at the same token, having children is an excellent point of contact that crosses any kind of culture or any kind of boundary, because a mom is a mom no matter where she's from. So, so it's been really excellent, actually, having the kids and having them be a part of supporting the church and being a part of the church and, just building relationships through and with them. So it's actually really good having kids out here.
That's fantastic. And have you had any fun stories of interactions with the kids and the locals?
Yeah, I mean, there's always something happening. but the locals really love seeing the twins. That's kind of a bit of a novelty. There aren't any other little twins that live out here. So, so they always love seeing them. And I used to walk around with them in the side-by-side double pram. And it just attracted a huge amount of attention because it's gigantic and green. And so everyone knew, like, oh, what's that coming? And they'd notice. And then as we'd kind of get closer, they'd kind of whisper to each other. And I don't have a lot of Walpuri language, but you could kind of tell, like, oh, they're talking about that they're twins. And so one of the first phrases I kind of learned to say was, oh, yeah, Jungrai Jara, which just means that there's two Jungrais. Jungrai is their skin name. Yeah. And Jara just means two of them. So together, so two together. So, and everybody just laughs. They think it's so funny that there's two twins together.
Oh, that's great. It's a great story. May Mission Month this year has different themes. And this particular theme for our episode is around partnering together. We would love to ask you, Shannon, what does partnership mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. Matt and I were talking about it, trying to think of an image that goes along with it or something that kind of connects with what it means. And we kind of were talking about, it's kind of like when we all say amen at the end of a prayer, or which kind of just means that we agree, or may what's been said happen, like let that be what happens, that we all kind of have this chance to add what we have to that vision, to that desire. So, so for us, partnership is just adding our amen to what God's doing and just saying we want to be a part of that. And for us, that means being on the ground and living in Yuendumu and walking alongside people here in person. Yeah. But for other people, it means joining this work by praying for us, joining this work by giving financially, and joining this work in visiting or having other ways of connecting in with what God's doing here.
And what difference does partnership make to you?
Yeah, well, partnership is hugely integral to every part of what we're doing. We're not out here on our own doing something by ourselves. We know that we're a part of a community, both back home and here. So we see our partnership as being partners with the body of Christ here and the believers that are here, and partners with people in our sending communities and sending churches. So we're just believe that partnering together is the way that we're supposed to live out the gospel, working together. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it like having relationships with the local churches there?
Yeah, well, Walbury people are really relational, and they do everything as a group and as a community. We're still very much just learning how to join in on that group and how to be a genuine part of that group. Obviously, we're outsiders and we're welcome, but we're still outsiders, so we're still learning how that works. And people are really gracious about welcoming us into that. And we're coming up on the Easter celebrations here soon, and all of the Walbury churches get together from different communities, so Lodjamanu and sometimes Kalkarindji and Alikrung, Willowra, and Yundumu all gather together. And it's really a highlight of our year here because we kind of get to work together with everyone. And things often seem like they might not come together. And we kind of are like, oh, what's going to happen? But people just work together and make everything work, make the event happen. Yeah. So we're just learning how they partner with each other as churches.
Oh, fantastic. It's great when churches do come together and work together for kingdom building and sharing that message. And Easter is a great time to be able to share that message. So what's been your personal experience of partnership?
Yeah, so we are just in our first term on the field, but we did a lot of traveling and speaking, visiting at churches in New South Wales. And it was pretty amazing just to travel around and meet people, some of whom have been praying for Yundumu and the work out here and all of that since like way before we were born way back when the work was just getting started. Some of these really faithful prayer warriors who have been, lifting up the work and involved in it all that time. And then also we had conversations with people who had never heard about Yundumu, who didn't know anything about what was going on out here and what Global Interaction has been a part of for a long time now. So So it was really exciting just to, be able to meet people and kind of realize that we were joining into something that was already ongoing.
So you've been on the field for a couple of years, but am I right in saying that you've been in Alice Springs for some of that time? What impact has that had on your partnership?
Yeah, so we came out in October 2018 and we had quite a few months here in Yundumu. And then in kind of the very beginning of January, we knew that my husband, Matt, his father lived in Alice Springs, and we knew that he had lung cancer and that he was struggling with that. But sort of towards the end of January, we found out that it was going to be terminal. So we made the decision along with Global Interaction to move into Alice Springs to be near him and to help look after him. Yeah, so we did that in the end of January 2019. And we had someone come and stay in the house while he was doing some work out here at Yundumu. But so we're in Alice Springs, and then in March, just after the twins' birthday, so right around a year ago, really, we got a phone call from Yundumu that the house had been broken into, that the person we had staying there was away for the weekend, and the house had been broken into and pretty severely damaged. So, it was really a tough time, and it was a bit crazy because we kind of didn't know what it was like. anyway. Yeah. And yeah, mm-hmm. so we were kind of not sure what the next steps were going to be. And then a couple of weeks after that, Matt's dad passed away sort of sooner than anyone had expected. So kind of within those few weeks, we were kind of, we had no home to come back to here at Yundamu because we couldn't move back into the house. And then Matt's father had passed away and we were kind of dealing with all of that. And yeah, it was a really, I guess a vulnerable time and just a time where we were kind of wondering how we were going to do what we needed to do. And weren't we supposed to be at Yundamu? Weren't we supposed to be doing all these other things? So people were really understanding and really compassionate. And Matt came out a few times to check on the property and we had people come around and want to look at it with him. And several of them cried with him because just the place that this house has in their history is really significant to them, as well as them just feeling sad for us and sad for what was lost. So, yeah, so they were really understanding of our situation. And of course, they were also really compassionate towards Matt in losing his dad. And they're very family focused as a culture. And so losing your father is really significant. So, so that was a time where we really felt loved and supported by the community out here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can just imagine just your friends. What was it like trying to connect with your friends back in Sydney?
Yeah, so we definitely wanted people to know what was going on. And so we kept connected as well as we could through emails and other things. And one of our sending churches just straight away was like, we really want to help. How can we help? And one of the things that we needed was someone to come and do the funeral service for Matt's dad and a bit of help with the kids during that, you know, crazy time. And and two of our friends like hopped on the plane and came out, and one took the service and one helped to look after children and run around and do whatever. And just that church wanted to help us however they could, and they did. It was really beautiful.
That's so beautiful, and it just would have made you feel so loved in that space as well too. Going through such hardship and losing a home and losing a father would have been just devastating.
Yeah, we have a picture from sort of just after that time with Beth and Peter laying on the carpet in the house we were staying in, and they're just surrounded by cards. We got so many cards in the post from churches and supporters on the East Coast and overseas as well. And it was just a huge blessing to us to have that support from afar.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see what partnership can produce as well too, isn't it, through those connection points. And also just what a beautiful thing to send two people up to give you just that support that you need. So how has your theology of money and support raising changed over your journey?
Well, so I guess when you start out preparing to either go overseas or like we did come out to the outback, you kind of get given like money figures and budget amounts and to kind of help you know what you're aiming for. And I remember feeling like, oh, that's a lot of money, or that's a really big amount. I'm not sure how we're gonna, like, how do you ask for that? How do you, you know, how do you go about doing that? But I guess as we started getting into the process of visiting people and letting them know what we wanted to be a part of and why we wanted to be a part of that, what God was already doing, we were just blown away by how people responded to us and how people were really generous. And really, they were already on board with what God was doing. And it wasn't us going around and like trying to ask for money, but it was more like just going out and meeting our teammates, meeting people who were already interested in being a part of what God's doing around the world. So we changed a lot in, I guess, the sort of the anxiousness around it. We're not anxious about it anymore. We're really blessed by a generous response to us. It's really special, I guess, I kind of wish that all Christians could have the opportunity to just go around and meet all these other Christians and share what God's put on our hearts to do and have them respond with what God's put on their hearts to do. And so it's a really beautiful opportunity to, I guess, kind of, meet people, talk to them about what we see God doing, and then ask them if they want to be a part of that, and then see them respond. And a lot of times God's already been working in their heart. He's already been talking to them before we did. And so it's pretty special to see them, you know, ready to respond, whether they could do anything financially or they couldn't, but just ready to pray for us and be a part of things. We had, you know, pensioners come up to us and, you know, they've got very limited resources, but they wanted to be generous with what God had given them, even if it was a small amount. So it was pretty humbling, really, to be a part of that.
Because I guess a critical part of us inviting them to partner with us is that they're actually participating in God's mission in doing that.
Yeah, we have different roles, all of us, in what God's doing. But certainly, like, we're here on the ground in Yundimu, but we couldn't be here at all if people weren't on the team in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's encouraging and what's really hard about partnerships? Give me both sides of the story.
Well, I think I've shared a little bit about that encouragement from just meeting people and seeing what God's doing. One of the things that we've found a bit difficult has been keeping that communication going, keeping up with writing regular newsletters and, you know, replying to emails and trying to keep on top of people's desire to partner with us is sometimes higher than our ability to keep communicating. So we found that is a challenge because we really have a burden to communicate to people what they're doing and the impact that it's having, because it's no small thing. Like, it's really significant.
So what difference does prayer make in partnership?
Yeah, well, that's probably been one of the biggest things that we have noticed or that we've been witness to is the response that people have when you ask them to pray. People are really very willing. One situation that we had out here in 2019, while we were living in Alice Springs, Matt had come out to Yundimu one day to help with a funeral, and then he'd come back to Alice Springs. And the next morning we heard about an incident, which probably a lot of people would have heard about in Australia, where a young man had died at the hands of police here in Yundimu. And it was a really tough time in Yundimu. There was a lot of emotions. And as you can imagine, just the community response was pretty strong. And we were really not sure what the situation was going to be. Yeah, Walpuri people are really expressive. And they were really understandably quite angry and upset. So we felt like our first position was just to ask people to pray and to ask people to pray for peace and to ask people just to pray for people to listen to the elders who were calling for peaceful expression. And and really, as each kind of the situation is ongoing, there's this whole court process and all these things happening. But as each kind of court date has come up, ask people to pray again, and each time there has been just a peaceful situation out here. It hasn't been anything like what we thought it might turn into, and we just feel like a lot of that has been a response to God's grace in that situation and people praying for their situation.
Absolutely. That teaches us a lot about how we can connect with each other, especially through some of the sadder times of life as well too. What was it like journeying with the families? Were you in those spaces to journey with some of the families as they went through that?
Yeah, Matt in particular was able to. So he had been in Yundimu on the Saturday, came back on the Sunday, and then by Monday he went back out to Yundimu just to be with family. And he said it was a really, I guess, a good time to be a quiet observer, just to let people do what they needed to do and process the way they needed to do, but I guess, to be watching and learning and, you know, just remembering how human we all are and how difficult that situation would be translated into any family that you know, and on all sides, you know, dealing with the police and those who were involved in the incident. And yeah, so Matt was able to be with people and pray with mm-hmm. people. And then later on, when they were ready, he was able to go to memorials and to mm-hmm. help a little bit with the funeral. So that has been an opportunity to minister to people and yeah, and to just, I guess, be a partner with them in their grief. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the Walpree people.
Yeah, so it's a tricky question as an outsider, but as we're getting to know people, yeah, they're a really diverse group. So there are people who are Walpree people who are really chatty and want to talk to everyone, and there's no strangers. And then there's really quiet and reserved Walpree people and anything in between that, just like any other group. But I think they have a little bit of a reputation amongst the other groups around here as being the one of the bolder groups. They're more direct than yeah. some of the groups out here. So I think Walpree means a strong wind or yeah. a loud wind. And that kind of reflects yeah. a little bit of kind of, if you're going to stereotype a whole group, yeah. that's kind of what they're like. They're like, I don't know, at one stage I said to Matt, I think they're kind of like the Italians of Aboriginal people. I don't know if that's, but just they're very expressive. They love their families. Yeah. Yeah. They're really loyal to their families and they love just spending time together. It's one yeah. of the best things. They'll travel extreme distances. They'll fix many broken down cars along the way to get to be with each other. And yeah, that's one of the things we find really beautiful is just their yeah. love and loyalty for their family. And yeah, it yeah. is quite a privilege to be able to yeah. to walk alongside Walpree people.
Yeah. And what's it been like for you living in that culture and acclimatizing yourselves into the culture?
Yeah, it's a big adjustment, especially around flexibility. So there is no plan in concrete. They're only ever written in the sand out here. So, yeah. So just getting used to the change of, you know, plans or change of schedule.
Yeah,
but also then, I guess, being relationally focused, being ready yeah. to change plans because this situation or this person requires it. Yeah. So,
yeah,
or this
yeah.
group of people. So, yeah. So there's lots of adjustments to be made. Also, people are more night culture focused. So, you know, it's really hot in the day, a big chunk of the year out here. Yeah. So. People often will get together in the evenings, and it took me a while to realize that when people said afternoon, they meant 5 o'clock. Because in my mind, afternoon was like well and truly before that. Yeah, yeah. But when they say afternoon, they mean 5 o'clock. So that yeah. that kind of just adjusting to a more evening focused culture, and how do we do that with our very, you know, Western yeah. style of like kids have to go to bed early and we have to, you know, go early to bed and get up early. And so we're still yeah. working that out. But yeah, oftentimes they'll have evening gatherings. The church will gather yeah. together for sing-alongs in the evening. And yeah. that's a really special time and a really good time to be a part of.
Yeah.
But it does mean that you're going to get to bed at maybe 1 or 2 or 3, yeah. just depending on when, how good the music is and how happy everybody is to keep going.
Yeah. Similar to my culture. We tend to have dinner when we have a party dinner at about 11 PM. The kids tend to eat about 9:30, 10. and then I think the guys tend to eat about 2 o'clock in the morning. So the few women and children get to eat earlier. It's quite an amazing, fun thing that my husband had to hit the ground running and learn. He was starving by 9:30.
Oh, man. You definitely want to pack a little snack.
We were getting into the short eats.
Oh,
that's awesome. So what has it been like in terms of finding a culture of rest for you as you've journeyed through this time?
Yeah, I'd say that we're probably still learning. I mean, like every family with young kids anywhere, rest is fleeting. But yeah, we are starting to, I feel like, well, it comes in seasons really. So we tend to always have too much on our plates. And I think that's normal in our culture, is to just keep piling it on. But Matt and I in particular are starting to think about, well, what does it look like for our family? And one thing is, we live where we work and we work where we live. Yeah. So one thing we're noticing is we've got to spend some time away from that place in order to find rest. So, yeah, so there's the Roadhouse that's about an hour away. So sometimes it's just burgers at the Roadhouse today. So we just drive an hour and have a burger and run around in the grass and eat an ice cream and come home. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, we're starting to try and figure out what those rhythms look like here, because it's not easy to find rest. And especially in this context, where inside of our home, we can be so Western and nobody bats an eyelash. It doesn't bother anybody. They expect us to be really Western. But then also recognizing that that's not how the majority culture here are living. So here, you know, they are not necessarily resting at the times that we rest. And so trying to get ourselves in sync with, a lot of people will lay down in the afternoon because they've been up, you know, a long time in the night, or they think they've gotten up early. And then you ask them what time they got up and it was 8:30 and you think, oh, that's not early. but yeah, just, I think as the kids get older, it's getting easier for us to be flexible with our rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming today and sharing your stories around partnership. We have really valued your time and experiences and look forward to hearing more.
Yeah, great. No, thank you very much for having me. It's been a real privilege.
What a great way to finish off our series for May Mission Month. If you want to learn more about the work in Outback Australia or how you can partner with our teams, then please get in touch with us. We would love to journey with you. Head to globalinteraction.org.au/podcast for resource links and more information. You'll find it all there. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Missioning, and we can't wait to connect with you next time.